最后再说明五庭新官跟三十七铸道品的关系。
And finally, we'll talk about the relationship between the five methods for stilling the mind and the 37 aids to enlightenment.
那其实我们都学习了非常多的经典，在佛法里面有三藏十二部，那经典学习了很多很多的观念，也知道很多方法，但往往呢我们都会落于知道是知道，然后呢就非常遗憾的是常常都觉得自己做不到。
So we, as practitioners, we learn a lot concepts. We study sutras, really go into sutras. But the thing is, sometimes we say knowing is one thing, but doing is another.
那其实在五庭新观里面呢就可以帮助我们用非常清楚的方式来带领着我们怎么样来调和我们自己的身心。
So in the five methods of stilling the mind, we can learn how to use methods to adjust our body and the mind.
那首先呢，其实我们常常在回到日常生活当中会发现呢，自己常常心里面都怎样，想着不是现前当下的事情哈，就我们其实是常常心是处在散乱的状态。
So return to the present moment, we often notice that we are not, our mind is not in the present moment, our mind is scattered.
其实慢慢的我们来了解自己身心的反应，那知道那是什么样的状况，再用上佛法的观念以及方法，其实就可以慢慢的自己练习着对自己的身心更加的有掌握。
So first we are aware of the conditions of our body and the mind, and then we apply the method, and gradually we are able to have a better understanding of the conditions of our body and the mind.
那师父呢告诉我们这认识自己心常常在过去，常常在未来，常常不在当下，那其实是一个认识自我的过程。好，那在最开始修行的阶段，我们会发现心常常是在这种散乱的状态当中。
So, our founder Ma Xinyan says that first we got to know ourselves, know the condition of our body and mind, and we notice that our mind is always either in present or in the future, and not in either in the past or the future, but not in the present. This is a process of getting to know yourself.
那所以呢，要怎么样，要来开始改变自我，来认识我们自己是这个状态，那我们就开始了，有了修道的开始点。好，我们把它作为一个方向标，有一个横轴跟纵轴，来看看我们怎么样子借由着师父告诉我们的禅修的层次，来调和我们的身心。
Knowing that we have a starting point for practice, that how we can apply the concept and method to adjust the scattered mind.
那开始有了这个知道我们的心在散乱的状态当中，就有了禅修的入手方便，跟我们就从这个基础开始。
So knowing that your mind is scattered is exactly the starting point for practice.
那实际上呢，不管你禅修了十年还是二十年，最好常常也是怎样，把现前当下就当成是自己的开始。我刚刚开始在禅修。
So no matter how long you have been practicing meditation, 10 years or 20 years, the best attitude actually is treating every moment right now as your starting point and you treat yourself as a beginner.
好，所以并不是说代表了我今天或是我这个月才开始学习禅修，所以我才是一个 beginner， 好，我才是一个初学者。其实呢，即使你已经禅修了非常多年了，最好时时刻刻还是把自己的心带回到，我才刚刚学习这样的一种心态来练习，那就不会给自己很多的压力。
So it's always recommended to have a beginner's attitude and beginner's mind, no matter how long you have been practicing.When we say beginner, it's not just referring to someone who just started meditation a month ago. Actually, no matter how long you've been practicing, it's always good for you to have this beginner mindset and beginner attitude, so you won't put a lot of pressure on yourself.
就拿我自己来说哦，我在2005年开始进入僧伽大学学习，然后到现在2019年哈，那我们在僧大呢，每年呢，年初有期初的禅期，还有期末的禅期，所以呢，一年至少会达两次的禅期。那我们现在领职的呢，每年呢，在六月份都有一个节下哈，有一整个月的节下。那我们的心会不会常常还在散乱状态当中？其实还是常常发现在散乱的状态当中。
So take myself as example, I joined the Sangha in 2005, and now it's 2019. And when I was not take a job, job within Sangha yet, I will have chance to at least practice attend two 7-day retreat every year in the beginning of the year and at the end of the year. And now I assume a certain duty in the Sangha.But still, I have, there's a July retreat, there's June retreat I can attend. So, overall, I have many opportunities to attend retreats. But often, I still find myself, with scattered mind.
所以当我发现的时候呢，最快的方式就是把我自己归零，回到现前当下。
So whenever I find my mind is scattered, the quickest way is quickly return to the present moment.
所以对于一个不管是修行了多久，初学还是资深的呢，其实能够有这样的正确的认知，知道我们的心随时在什么样的状态当中，然后呢，在你觉察的当下，很快的把它带到现前当下来，其实就是在生活当中进行禅修。
So, no matter you're a beginner or a senior practitioner, knowing the state of your mind at any moment and be able to quickly return to the present moment, is the right way to practice.
好，那我们认知到了心其实是常常在我们没有办法掌握的状态当中，好，那透过了练习呢，修行，我们其实在进行将我们自己的心提升，就是我们修道的方向。
Now that we know our mind is often scattered, and to improve the self, the direction we take is improve the self.
就像师父为我们法鼓山所立下来的哈，法鼓山的理念是提升人的品质，建设人间净土，就从我们自己内心灵的品质来提升。
Just In Damajong Mountain, we often say that uplifting human characters and build pure land on earth. And we start from building our inner peace, our inner self.
所以呢，那我们禅修的方向呢，是什么？要以无为方向。
So the direction of our practice is doing nothing.
这也是佛陀哈最究竟的教导。其实佛陀在菩提树下七天精进的禅修之后呢，他体证到了什么？体证到了究竟的真我是无我。
Shakyamuni Buddha, when Shakyamuni Buddha got enlightened under the Bodhi tree, the insight he had for the world is the essence is no self.
Now.我们需要去跟随着佛陀的脚步来做练习，但我们知道我们的方向其实是跟佛陀是一致的。体验到了真实的无我的状态，其实并不是代表我们什么都不用做，而是我们更可以积极的去承担，照顾好自己，然后也可以建设人间的净土在我们的环境，生活环境当中。
So we follow the footsteps of Shakyamuni Buddha, and the direction of our practice and is the same. The ultimate goal is to reach the state of no self, but the concept of no self is not that you're doing nothing. Actually, to the contrary, where when you at the state of no self, you will be able to take care of yourself and also take care of others to build the pure land on earth.
那所以呢，这其实是在观念当中大家都知道的哈。 但我们常常会遇到了菩萨们啊，在生活当中遇到境界了，顺境或者是逆境的考验的时候呢，就会说我通通做不到。
Of course, what we just talked about is all concepts that we know. But a lot of practitioners often say they understand the concepts, but when they encounter favorable or unfavorable conditions, they're not able to apply these methods.
那所以呢，我们现在就要从五庭星光开始哦，来慢慢的带着大家，我们一起来分享，究竟这颗看起来无形无色无畏的心，那我们该怎么样好好掌握，让它发挥最强最大的力量，来照顾好自己，又可以帮助我们周边的人。
So we're going to start with the five methods for stilling the mind and see how we can understand and apply this mind which has no shape, taste, or flavor, or smell, that we can use this mind to take care of ourselves as well as others.
好，所以我们开始知道了心在散乱的状态，好，那就是用五庭星观的方式来做提升。那慢慢的我们也会了解到你的心从散乱到慢慢的集中，用我们五庭星观的方法来修定，好，然后进一步能够到统一心，然后再到最究竟的无心。
So using the five methods for stilling the mind, we are able to improve the state of the body and the mind from scattered mind to concentrated mind, further to unified mind, and finally to reach the state of no mind.
那这其实就是佛陀提升到的层次嘛，好，究竟的我是无我的。
So eventually reach the state, the insights of Buddha, that the state of no self.
那大家可以看到哦，最这个荧幕上面哈，在你们的最左手边，你们面对荧幕的，大家可以看到这个黑圈的这部分哦，有列出了四个阶段、四个层次哦，也是师父在禅修上为我们厘清的。我们也是从认识自我，进入肯定自我，哈，我们要知道，其实，哎，就像佛陀在菩提树下证悟的当时，他一出境了，就感慨的说：“哎呀，善哉善哉，一切众生皆有如来智慧德相，只因妄想执着不能证得。”所以，当我们知道，其实我们的心本来就是清净的，本来就具足圆满的慈悲跟智慧，那用肯定这样的自我的立场来继续做努力，进入到成长自我，就是要学习观念跟方法的实践哦。那最后呢，提证到的是消融自我，是一个利益众生的我，是一个没有自心、没有自私的心，然后是一个没有愚痴、没有贪嗔痴慢疑这些心所作用的大我、无我的心。
So, to the left of the PowerPoint, you see there are four black circles. So, this represents the four stages of the involvement, starting from recognize yourself. And then the next step is affirming yourself, affirm the self. Just like Shakyamuni Buddha, when he got enlightened under the Bodhi tree, he claimed that how wondrous the mind is. Because everyone has this Buddha nature, it's because of the delusion vexations that we're not able to see the true nature of the mind. And the third step is grow the self, self-growth. And the last, final step is self-dissolution. In the final stage, you will finally be able to let go the self and not be selfish anymore, and will let go the three poisons, greed, hatred, and ignorance, and finally reach the state of no mind.
那实际上佛陀所提证到的一切众生的苦啊，就是来自于哪里？来自于有这个自我，有这个自我的中心，才造成这么多三毒的苦，甚至于生生世世生死轮回的苦。
So, what Shakyamuni Buddha realized is that all sentient beings, the sufferings of all sentient beings are caused by the self-centeredness in the essence. And the self-centeredness leads to the three poisons and then leads to all the sufferings.
那我觉得师父哦，帮我们把整个禅修的一个方向跟目标已经理清了，非常简单而且非常清楚哦。那其实时时刻刻，不管你自己喜欢的或者你比较相应的经典是什么，其实都可以用这样禅修的一个修行的方向目标这样的一个坐标哦，其实都可以套进你自己常熟悉阅读的经典，那再对照回来用自己的身心来检验，就用这样的修行方向目标来做自我期许。甚至于我也相信哦，如果有因缘你需要跟别人分享，其实这个也会是一个非常非常的一个简单明了哈，而且其实把师父把这么多的四禅八定或许在很多人认为这些禅修的过程、禅修的起正次第非常繁复的状态当中，其实师父已经帮我们厘清的，用这么简单的四个自我，还有呢四种心的状态哦，那我们都可以把它作为自己跟就是在禅修修行上面的依准对照。
So this chart is really useful that we can use this chart to compare to understand a lot of sutras, a series of sutras, and to illustrate or to understand the state of your current mind, because it simplifies all the series and into the stages of practice, this can be really useful.
那反过来方向说哈。如果您懂得了非常多的经典，非常的了解经典里面所说的内容，可是你没有办法用自己的身心去做这样的梳理跟调和的时候呢，那就会变成是什么？就会是文字般若。好，只是在知识上面了解哦这些名相，但是呢能不能真正的用自己的身心来实践呢，那又会是一段距离。所以呢我们其实在整个学习佛法的过程哦，必须要透过有文字的般若带入我们做观照的般若，最后呢能够进入实相的般若，那这个历程就完全需要借由禅修带领着我们去调理我们整个身心，那再去做对于经典的体证，而你就能够真正了解经典里面告诉我们的智慧了。
In other words, we read a lot of sutras and understand a lot of theories. If we're not able toexperience or realize the teachings in the sutras by the state of our own mind, then those are just wisdom of words. They're not going to be something that you have realized as wisdom of contemplation or eventually the ultimate wisdom. So you have to experience and realize all the teachings.
那当然在了解这个的过程当中呢，我们每一个当下就要以努力修行的过程作为我们永久的目标哦，知道了这样子的一个起点以及我们的方向，但是每一个当下呢就只管努力，好，知道了方向往方向前进，但是需不需要瞻前，需不需要顾后，其实也要把这样的心念呢收回到只管在每一个当下现前的 moment 去做努力，提起你的方法就好。
Now we understand where we start and what the directions we're taking. We just try our best and work hard on that. But meanwhile, we should not always checking where we are on the along the road. Because no matter whatever situations you encounter, you just pick up your method.
那我们也会发现哦，可能啊，就是我们在每个新年的时候呢，大家都会做一些什么，新年的新计划，新年的新愿望哦。那我们也常常会发现什么，新愿望发了，然后呢，新计划做了，但是呢，自己常常就怎样，一开始的时候，做的有三分钟热度哈，然后呢，接着呢，到了年终了，就已经慢慢的还忘记了哈，然后到年尾的时候，再会去回想，可能想不起来了哈。其实我们常常心就会是怎样？就其实常常会失焦了，那我们就需要用其实透过练习五停心观的方式呢，就在帮助我们练习修定， 让我们的心常常能够在安定当中，那我们也会对自己的人生方向，对我们的目标要规划去实践的事情呢，让我们的心更能够有专注力的去执行它，实践它。
So it's just like people like to make New Year's resolution. We like to plan things in the beginning of the year, but when it gets to the middle of the year or towards the end of the year, we completely forget what our New Year's resolutions are and forget about our plannings and lose the focus during the year. It's just like our practice. We really need to have certain concentrated strength or samadhi to have the mind always calmed and to always have the strength to pick up the what our directions is and to get focused on our goals.
好，所以呢，我们整个修行的历程，正是从散乱心，然后开始了有修道的十点哈。那我们进入到学习五停心观，其实帮助我们修定。那五停心观的内容里面呢，就有属习观对治我们的散乱心，那有不净观来对治我们的贪欲心。继续哈。OK， 那还有慈悲观来对治我们的嗔恚心，那分念佛观跟戒分别观呢，就是来对治我们就觉得自己在修行当中哈，障碍困难重重，或者是发现自己的我执我见比较重的现象。那最后还介绍一个因缘观，就在对治我们的愚痴心。
So using the five methods for stilling the mind, we can practice on samadhi. We start, the five methods are meditation on breathing, meditation on counting the breath. This can be used to deal with the scattered mind. And the second method is to meditate on the impurities. And this method can be used to deal with greedy mind. And the third method is meditation on loving kindness and compassion. And this can be used to deal with the mind of hatred and anger. And the fourth method is to meditate on recollection of Buddha or meditation on the categories, and this can be used to deal with self-attachment and the view of self. And the last method is to meditate on cause and condition, and this can be used to deal with the mind of ignorance.
所以大家可以看得到哦，我们在这个栏位的这个部分啊，其实是不是常常我们都可以照见自己的心，就随时随地都可能会有这一些现象产生。好，那但是知道了之后呢，其实哦，佛陀就是提供了我们用五停心观的方式来做对治。其实学佛修行，其实它换用另外一个名词来讲啊，应该就是叫做对治法门。好，我们其实学习了这么多的经典，如果其实不把自己的身心拿来当实验啊，我们只是知道，在理论上知道，但对我们的生命其实并不会发生任何改变的效用。但是呢，当我们能够把这些理论性的这些文字的经典呢，能够用到自己的生活当中去做关照的时候呢，其实我们会慢慢发现，其实我们的心理、我们的心态观念在改变，甚至于包括我们自己的生理也会改变。
So we can really use this to reflect on ourselves and how this type of mindset relate to ourselves, relate to the state of our body and the mind, because only when we do that, then Buddha Dhamma starts to become alive for us, becomes too relevant to us. Otherwise, it would always remain as theory. So when we are able to apply and relate the different conditions of the body and the mind to ourselves, then we are able to use these methods And then we will be able to really have some real effects on ourselves, on the conditions, the state of the body and the mind.
让我举一个例子哈，就像我自己在以前学生的时代念书的时候啊，就常常也感觉到心很难专注在当下，常常坐在书桌前面，书本一摊开来了，可是呢，念头在哪里？念头就到处云游了哈。那其实对照于现前学校里面啊，非常多学生其实发现，老师们也发现，学生也都怎样，心很难专注在要学习的课业上。
So for example, when I was a student, I find it's very hard to get concentrated. For example, I opened the book, but my mind was all over the place. Just like many students, I was not able to concentrate.
那甚至于我们也可以知道哦，其实非常多的人哦，在生活当中可能呢，他也都会把自己一些内心里面焦躁不安的状态，那怎么处理？可能就去找好朋友聊天了。诉苦了，结果呢？得到的答案是什么？哎呀，你想太多了，那都是你自己想的。
Just like many people, when they have issues, problems, or have things on their minds, they will turn to their friends to talk. And usually, the comment we get is, "Oh, you think too much."
那这时候呢？这个心里面觉得本来感觉自己怎样，已经心里面蛮不安的哈。结果去找了朋友谈了完之后呢，就怎样，心里的挫折感更重了。
So because you have this anxiety and you have all these things on your mind, you want to talk to someone to talk it out. But the feedback you got was like you think too much. So not only now your mind is unsettled, you even feel more frustrated.
那其实啊，佛陀在这个部分都已经有教我们观念跟方法了哈。就是其实当我们的心有发现是在这样的一些状态当中的时候，我们自己有观念有方法，我们随时随地可以做好自己安心的功课。
But actually, Shakyamuni Buddha already taught you the concept and the methods that you can use to calm down, to settle your mind.
那实际上我们其实不管是学生也好，甚至于已经在职场当中工作了，那甚至于呢年老了退休了，其实当如果我们认不清我们的心其实常常是处在这样的状态，而也没有一个熟悉的方法知道怎么去处理的时候呢，其实你的心常常就怎样，会有迷失的感觉，常常会有没有踏实的生活生命感。
So no matter if you're a student or you're working or you're retired, if you don't have the method, you often feel that you're lost and you don't have a solid ground.
那相对的，如果你随时随地保持着警觉，知道你的心处在这些状态当中的时候，其实你会随时的很快的做好自己的心灵环保。那随时能够让自己保持一种身心的安定跟平和，来面对你生活当中应该要处理的事物。
Instead, if you're a practitioner, you become very mindful, and you're mindful of any given moment, the state of your body and the mind, then you will be able to quickly pick up the method and return to calmness and ease, and then you're able to face all sorts of issues in life.
那在佛陀时代有一个譬喻哦，就是说一个富翁呢，他想要盖一栋楼，那他找来了工人，建筑工人哦，盖这一栋楼。那他告诉这个建筑工人啊，说我想要盖三层楼房，但是呢我不要地下室。那他就要求着这个工人呢就进行了工程，然后呢他不要地下室，所以呢直接砖瓦，他的柱子呢就直接叠高到第三层楼。结果当这个房子盖好了呀，那这个富翁呢也这样爬上了第三楼，结果他人一上去之后呢，这个楼就怎样，就垮了。
So actually, Buddha used to tell us a story. Said there once there's a rich person, a wealthy person wants to build a three-story house, but he doesn't want to have any basement or foundation of the house. So,They just pile up the bricks starting from the ground, and When it's finished, when the wealthy person climbed up to the top of the house clapped.
所以我们就必须要面对哦，实际上其实在心经里面都有提到哈，首先开头的第一句就讲到，照见五蕴皆空，度一切苦厄。好，如果我们的信心够，如果我们的善根福德够，其实当聆听到这样，我们都知道该怎么在自己的生活当中去实践无我了。
So just like the Heart Sutra, in the Heart Sutra it says, be able to illustrate that to contemplate that all five skandhas are empty. That if you have sharp roots, when you hear such line of sutra, you will be able to contemplate and realize the emptiness of all things.
那其实在我们的六祖慧能大师，好，他当时其实也就在客栈听到了那么一句，因无所住而生其心。然后就开悟了。
Just like the sixth patriarch, Master Huineng, actually he heard that famous line from the Diamond Sutra, with no abiding there's a mind, there arising the mind, he got enlightened.
那我们都听过多少次心经了，我们又都诵了多少次六祖坛经了，那我们常常是不是还是感觉自己的什么贪心啊，痴心啊，我执啊，我见啊，这些嗔恨心啊，常常其实还是在自己的心中翻滚。
But we have heard so many times of the Heart Sutra and the Platform Sutras, our all kinds of afflictions, afflicted mind is still very strong and keeps surging up.
所以我们自己就要回到哈，我们不要像富翁这样，我们要当一个怎样，要非常的就是务实的，让自己哈回到现前当下来。师父告诉我们的禅修呢，就是以有为基础嘛，对不对？以有为入手的方便。那散乱心，当然其实好不好？不好哈。但是呢，我们怎样透过其实正确的观念方法，我们就可以梳理它，可以调节它，慢慢的让我们的心呢，就是做心灵环保，除掉这一些负面的、没有意义的这一些心念的作用。
So, unlike the wealthy people that building the house in the story, that we should have, we should start with a solid foundation, and we should start from the scattered mind, because we do not have such sharp roots like Master Huineng that.Immediately we can realize the emptiness. So we have to start with our current state of mind that is scattered mind and see if we can keep this spiritual environment pure and work on it.
那慢慢的我们就可以让自己的心进入到集中统一。那对，所以我们其实现在在学习的五庭心观呢，就是作为我们修道的前方便，来帮助我们的心更加的专注有力量，来朝着无心的方向来做练习。
So we have to, start with scattered mind and then work on it to get to the state of concentrated mind and then get to the unified mind step by step. We have to use thisconvenient means to help ourselves to practice.
所以大家可以看到哈，这个其实在修五庭心观呢，帮助我们来修定，那其实就是我们整个修道的打地基，好，帮助我们打地基。那慢慢的透过我们，其实不只有37道品哈，任何一部的大圣经典呢，其实呢都是教导着我们修观慧、修空慧。那有了定的基础，再来修空慧，那我们可以实际上的在每一个生活的当下就去实践，就去体证。
So, practice the method, five methods for stilling the mind is really building up the foundation of your practice to cultivate the samadhi.And the 37 aids to enlightenment really help us to eventually achieve the wisdom of emptiness.
好，那大家可以看到哈，我们其实 最终的目标在这个无心。那这个无心呢，可是我们现在可以经验到的是，我们还有这么多的新的层次，所以呢，就要更有耐心的回到每一个方法，每一个方法的了解。那透过练习，我们自己就可以感受到这个方法带给我们的力量。
Now we see that the ultimate goal is to reach the state of no mind. But before that stage, we still have to go through many stages. So that means we need to be really patient to practice each method. And then you will be able to see the effect and the results.
那我们在前一次已经介绍过了数息观还有不净观。好，那不净观今天呢，我会就是剩下最后一个 page 跟大家说明。那前面的部分呢，今天就不重复讲。那我们其实在周日讲经的这些内容呢，在我们的 Facebook 上面都还是有前期的影片。那大家如果觉得希望学习的话，也可以再上去网站上学习。
So in our last talk, we already covered the two methods of these five methods, which is the meditation on counting the breath and the meditation on the impurities. So there's just one last page on the counting the breath we're going to cover. The rest, you can go to the Facebook page, which there's a recorded video if you want to review the content.
那么今天介绍不净观好。那其实今天要谈到的是不净观的要领跟它的困难度。
So, today we're going to start with the method of meditating on the impurities, and we're going to cover its importance and difficulties.
那我们虽然在做不净观的时候呢，其实观相的内容其实是一直在变化，但是主题却是连续的哈。怎么说呢？其实我们是用自己的色身，甚至于他人的色身的不净来做观想。从比方说哈，就是一具的尸体，那你怎么样从他的往生了，那整个身体的肉体的变化，那来做不净的观想。从一开始的这个肉体，它比方说淤青啊、水肿啊，然后到最后呢，整个肉腐蚀了，最后看到了白骨，甚至于呢，再进入到都不见了的状态。所以虽然这些内容是变化的，可是它的主题其实是完全 focus 在同一个主题上。
So, for the method of meditating on the impurities, even though the objects, the content of the objects we observe keeps changing, but the theme actually is continuous and is the same. For example, we use corpse to apply this method, even though the corpse, the flesh of the corpse keeps changing, the conditions of the corpse keeps changing, the flesh will eventually decompose and the white bones will reveal itself. But the entire process is focused on the observing the corpse itself.
那它的好处呢，是可以帮助可以快速的进入禅定。
So the benefits of this method is it can help people to quickly enter into a meditative state.
那对那一些就是根气很够的哈，就是你的善根够，你的福德因缘够的呢，也甚至于很快的可以用这样的方式来达到解脱生死。
And for those who have sharp roots or enough blessings or merits, they are able to use this method quickly to even reach the liberation of birth and death.
那但是其实在修不净观当中其实也有它的困难度哈。一个是其实一般人其实是不容易找到可以这样做观想的尸体的。
But there are difficulties when you apply this method. For example, it's not easy to find a corpse that you can use to meditate on.
那甚至于其实在一些先进的国家好，是也是不合法的。
And in most developed countries, that is not a legal way actually to practice either.
那我们其实也好像之前其实也看到过哈，有些在欧洲的也是佛教的道场哈，他们就直接怎样，就是在道场里面就悬挂着白骨。好，那你可以直接看得到这些人的骷髅而做观想。
So, we've seen that in some European countries, in some temples, they will have the corpse shown in the temple actually, and those skeletons, just when you enter the temple, you'll be able to see.
但这对一般我们在家的居士菩萨们呢，可能就很难有这样的因缘做练习了。
But it's not a common way, or it might be difficult for lay people to accept this method.
那接着我们来介绍念佛观。
Next, we're going to introduce the method of meditating on recollection of Buddha's name.
那它的特色呢，跟它的重要性哦，其实这是我们大乘佛教最基础的修行方法之一。
And the feature of this method is really viewed as the most important or basic fundamental methods of Mahayana Buddhism.
那它其实不仅是最基础的，而且也是最简单最容易的。
And it's not only the most basic, it's also the easiest way to practice.
那目前其实不仅在汉传佛教在西藏甚至于东亚很多的佛教团体呢，其实我们也都有用念佛或者是念菩萨名称来修行的。
So it's wide popular, not just in Chinese Buddhists, but also in Tibet Buddhists, Tibetan Buddhists, and some East Asian practitioners.
那你说念佛方法是现代人发明出来的吗？其实并不是哦，早先在佛陀时代呢，就有六念法门：念佛、念法、念僧、念戒、念师。念天，就有这种六念法门。
So, recollecting Buddha's name, so recitation of Buddha's names is very popular. Not just now, even during the Shakyamuni Buddha's time, it is one of these five recitations. So it's already popular back then.
那所以其实，在念佛法门当中呢，它的内容很丰富。那其实包含的层次跟其实方向也很多的。
So this method actually has a rich content and includes a lot of details and nuances.
那它的特性当中呢，就有固定不变的焦点，那就是我们其实是固定的持诵一尊佛的名号，或者是一位菩萨的名号。
So there are two main kinds that we use this method. The first is to recite one particular Buddha's name or one great Bodhisattva's name.
那它的好处也是容易能够产生宗教情感。
So the good thing about it, it's easy to give you certain recognition, emotional recognition of this type of religion.
那所以其实在我们汉传佛教里面，其实呢，我们还有一个名称，就是念佛法门，也叫做易行道，这是一个很容易的方法，帮助自己身心能够安定下来，帮助我们修道的方式。
So recitation of Buddha's name is also viewed as a quick and easy way to practice because it can quickly settle your mind.
那它其实呢，适合用的对象就是如果觉得其他的修行法门呢，就是比较吃力或者是难度高的，或者是呢觉得自己没有办法熟悉的人，都可以用念佛的方式。
So if you feel that other methods introduced here are too difficult and not easy to apply, then you can try this method of recitation of Buddha's name.
那它分有两种主要的方法哈，一种就是称名念佛，另外一种叫观想念佛。
So there are actually two main formats of applying this method. First is to recite Buddha's name, and second is to mindfully recollect Buddha's image.
在称名的念佛方法呢，我们又有分是散心念佛、 专心念佛，那甚至于能够进入到念佛一心不乱的状态。
And in the recitation of Buddha's name, we have a different stage or different ways to recite. First is recite the Buddha's name with scattered mind. The next is recite Buddha's name with focused, concentrated, single mind. And last stage is recite the Buddha's name with a single-mindedness.
在一心不乱的哈，我们还可以介绍，其实当他一心不乱的时候呢，每一个念头每一个念头都是净念相继，那甚至于可以，你其实已经没有告诉你自己要念佛了，那佛号呢，他源源不绝的自己就一直在念诵。
So when you reach the third stage of recite the Buddha's name single-mindedly, there's really no person that is recite Buddha's name. It's just the recitation will come up as one thought by another thought continuously.
称名念佛呢，主要的方法有默念，然后也有出声念。那特别对于初学的人哦，我们也会鼓励念出音声来。那念佛法门呢，也可以称为叫做音声法门哈。你的嘴巴念佛，耳朵呢也在听着你所念的这个佛号，再加上呢，你的心也要意念着你所持诵的这一尊佛。
So when you recite Buddha's name, you can recite silently or you can recite loudly. And for beginners, it is recommended that you recite loudly. And when you recite the Buddha's name, you chant through your mouth and you listen. You listen your chant by your ear. And in the meanwhile, your mind is collected on the image of that Buddhas that you recite.
所以大家可以看到用这样的方式，我们就有不同的方法来让这个无形无色无味的心呢有一个所缘，好，我们就称为这个用佛念佛的名号来作为让我们的心可以练习专一的所缘境。
So you can see basically we have an object that you can use toPractice how to concentrate the mind on such object.
所以是我们专注最主要的，好，回来，专注最主要的关键。
So this is the key point that how we practice develop samadhi, that you have the mind focused on something.
特别就是在我们在念诵的时候呢，清清楚楚的让自己的每一个念头就在每一声的佛号当中。
And when you practice this method,Every chant is very clear, not too quick, not too slow, and is clear, and you can always get focused or mindful of each chant.
这刚刚介绍了哈，有嘴巴念，有耳朵听，然后我们的心呢要意识。
So the method is just like we just introduced that you recite, you hear the sound, and your mindis collected and mindful of the image.
速度不要太快，不要太慢。念诵的时候呢，还可以有一个韵律。
And the pace is not too quick or too slow, and there's maintain the stable pace of the chant.
那另外一个要聊，就是要留意的就，不要期待念佛了之后啊，怎样？哇，要见莲花啦，要见佛的相好啦，寻求任何的特殊的体验。
Another thing need to notice, need to pay special attention to is that do not expect any special images or any phenomenon or special experience during your chanting.
那么也要留意哦，在念佛的过程当中，因为其实一句一句的佛号非常的短，它就非常的简单。那简单了之后呢，我们的心其实是喜欢这样复杂的，想复杂的事情的。那一简单的时候呢，整个的念诵就会变得很机械化，而失去了觉照。
And we also should pay attention that becauseRecitation of Buddha name, the method itself is quite simple, and because the simplicity and our mind is always get used to complex notions, so when we chant, recite Buddha's name, it will at some point we'll become mechanically chanting the Buddha's name. So at that point, you should realize that you already lost mindfulness.
那我们也要避免呢，在用念佛法门的时候啊，只重量不重质哈，这是什么意思哈？每天呢就抢着记录着我要念300,000声佛号，好，然后100,000声佛号，那只重数字而不重质量哈，就是每一个当下呢怎样，你的心是怎样，嘴巴可能在念，可是你的心怎样在做其他的事情，好，然后呢就是。有念没念自己也恍恍惚惚的齁。所以其实在念佛法门当中呢，其实最好的是能够每一个佛号你自己都可以清清楚楚。
Another trap that practitioners often fall into is that they only pay attention to quantities but not the qualities of the chanting.For example, some people like to set up a goal that they want to chant 1,000,000 times a day or something. But because they just focus on the quantity, they do it mechanically, then the quality is not good. The mindfulness, the contemplation is not there, is not clear.
其实我们也可以来练习一下哈，我们就来练习这两种方法，一种是默念。好，我们先来练习默念。你自己呢身体坐正，好，椅子坐1/2到1/3，然后两脚掌平行，膝盖之间留一个拳头的宽度，你的上半身挺直，头顶天，下巴微微内收，那你的双手很舒服的就放在你的大腿上，那你将心中的佛号提起，好，我们就用四字佛号，好，我先带一个韵律节奏出来，那你可以在自己的心中默念。好，
So we can practice right now. Just sit upright and sit only half or 1/3 of the chair and place your feet on the ground comfortably and there's a space of 1 fist space between your 2 knees and sit upright your chin's back, place your palms, hands on your knees, and then we're gonna chant, Amitabha Buddha's name.
那我们首先练习用默念的方式哈，所以我现在念诵，你用你的耳朵听，然后用你的心来念，好，先不要用嘴巴。
So first we're gonna try the method of recitation silently.So I'll recite Buddha's name. You just listen and recite in your heart.
Om Mito Fo, Om Mito Fo, Om Mito Fo, Om Mito Fo, Om Mito Fo.阿弥陀佛，阿弥陀佛，阿弥陀佛。好，你自己在心中就持续的念这样的佛号。
So now try to continuously chant the Buddha's name silently in your mind.
好，刚刚这么一小段时间的练习， 自己的心有没有能够一直专注在佛号上？有的人请举手。
So please raise your hand if you're able to focus on recitation for just a brief moment.
好，因为刚刚才练习不到一分钟的时间，好，那其实可能练个做个五分钟呢，你就会发现怎样？其实就会有一些念头会跑出来的，心就会离开了佛号。那其实我们还有方法可以帮助自己，让你的心不断的回到这个佛号的当下，就是还有另外一个叫做十念法门，就是把佛号，我们十句的佛号呢，分为三句一组，三句一组，然后呢，后面的四句呢，就是两句一组，两句一组，这样子你的心缩短注意力，好，不是一直好像机械化的一直阿弥陀佛阿弥陀佛阿弥陀佛阿弥陀佛念到不知道哪里，而是阿弥陀佛阿弥陀佛阿弥陀佛阿弥陀佛阿弥陀佛阿弥陀佛阿弥陀佛阿弥陀佛阿弥陀佛阿弥陀佛。 OK， 你的心里面把它给分组，那你的心呢，它的专注力其实就更缩短了，你够更容易保持你的专注力。
So, just now we only practiced for less than 1 minute. So perhaps you were able to focus on recitation, that's good. But when you recite for longer time period, you will notice that your mind starts to get scattered. So you have to use method to pull yourself back on the method. And there's actually a useful way to recite Buddha's name. For example,within 10 times of recitation, you don't just recite the Buddha's name, because if you do that, it will easily to get mechanical chanting and lose the mindfulness. So you within 10 times of recitation, you group them into 3-3-2-2. So you group three chants together and then followed by three chants.Three recitation and then two recitations, then two recitations. So within 10 recitations, you're very mindful, how many times you've already chanted. So by doing this, you will not, lose mindfulness.
那其实呢，早先哦，有名延寿禅师呢是教导的是334的方式，好，那是我们的方丈和尚，现任的方丈和尚哦，他跟大家分享了3322的方式。因为呢，其实当我们的会发，当方丈和尚他其实自己在练习这个念佛法门的时候呢，就会发现33，你这个专注力跟集中度都可以，可是当你佛号连续到四句佛号的时候，就怎样，心就很容易失去了觉察哦，所以就再把它切半。好，变成3322。
So in the history, Master Yongming Yanshou recommend to break this 10 recitation of chanting into 3-3 and 4 groups. So 3 recitations followed by 3 recitations and followed by 4 recitations. But our current abbot of Damajong Mountain recommended to break down the final, the 4 recitation into 2 groups, each having two recitations, because he noticed when he used this method, the first two groups, each consisting of three recitations, are still pretty good, still have good qualities. You'll be able to concentrate. But the last four recitations, the last group of four recitations, the mind is already not so clear. So because of, you know, modern people have short attention span.That's why he recommended to break the last group of four recitations into two further groups, each consisting of two recitations.
所以这个大家其实也可以啊，我们之前有提到了吗，在念佛呢，我们其实是要重质而不是重量，不是为了要念佛念很多声，而是在你每一次念佛的时候呢，你的心呢就跟着佛号一起。
So again, the focus is to focus on the emphasize on the quality of recitation, not on the quantity, how many times you recite. It's really how clear each recitation is.
Answer the question? Okay. Maybe you need a microphone? 啊，我们有位菩萨提问题。
啊，阿弥陀佛。
阿弥陀佛。
Doesn't the counting take some concentration to do? And if so, well, you know, I think you understand what I'm saying. All you're doing is you just say, I'm just going to do Amitofo, 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 and not count. Just do that.
Yeah.
And always stay right on that without counting. It's then a little bit different if somebody says, well, no, do four and four, three, or
three,
what, three, three, four,
two, two.
Three, three, two, two.
Yeah.
You have to have, somewhere in your brain, you have to be holding a number as you go through.
That's right, yeah.
So, that's not quite as complete a concentration as the first one is. At least it seems to me that I don't quite understand how it could be. So, is there an explanation for that?
就是 Bill 菩萨有个问题说，刚刚提到，我们在念佛的时候是分成这样啊，三三二二，这样就是说按组的来，唱诵，这样心更轻。但是他说，如果你不计数的念佛的话，就是不计你念了三次还或者是几次，就一直专注在念佛的话，跟你是计数的念佛，他觉得。专注的程度是不一样的，因为如果你在计数你念了几声的话，似乎没有像你不计数这样更专注，或者说完整的专注，好像你要分心去记这个你已经念了几遍，所以他不知道这两种应该怎么解释。
好，首先呢，我们先把它分成是3322的方式，好，其实是让我们的心先用短的，就是缩短我们的，就是你要花的注意力的时间。当你的目标短的时候呢，其实心是容易专注的。可是当你，比方说你一次念十声佛号，其实在这个十声的佛号过程当中，可能你念到五声六声，你其实心里面已经被其他的妄念插进来了，而没有觉察。先坐下。
So 法师 said, When we use the counting of the recitation, the method, when you break down to 3322, it's easier to be aware or to check if you are right on the method completely clearly. Because modern people have very short attention span. What happens usually is when you just recite Buddha's name without counting, you don't even...or you don't even realize that you actually are not, you're not completely on the method. You already have some murkiness in your mind, you know, some discursive thinkings already chipped into the recitation.
让我举个例子哦，昨天呢，我们有一个 Zen Tango Chan 的课程。好，那其实呢，在刚开始进行的时候呢，老师带领的第一个练习就是让大家齁在十秒当中就是不断的画线条。那其实呢所有的人都在这儿，那其实每个人都专注的在画线条。但是突然之间呢，这个就听到怎么有东西一直在呱呱呱呱这样的声音齁。结果呢我们就是其实听到这样的声音的时候就开始在找，哎呀到底是哪里发出来的声音好？结果呢，其实是其中一位学员他在画画的时候发出的声音。那提这个例子呢，是要说，其实在我们课程结束的时候呢，这一个学员他自己他本身呢也是经常打坐的也是禅修非常久的一段时间了。那他其实就分享到说，在一开始的时候呢，他觉得他的身心是放松安定的。但是呢他竟然在画画的时候呢竟然产生这么大的一个音声他都不知道。好，然后呢等到课程结束的时候呢他的作品，他画画的作品好 让他自己看了，老师也看得很赞叹哈。然后呢，他就觉得说，其实真正他在最后作画的时候呢，他反而觉得他的心可能是比较紧绷的，可是呢，他画出来的作品呢，却是线条非常清晰的。
So, for example, yesterday we have this drawing class or activity. People just drawing lines and for 10 seconds, but people start to get scattered or by noticing there's certain sound that people, some people are making sound, making noise. And then eventually there was one person that when he or she was drawing that he made that noise. But he actually is already a long-term practitioner, so he meditates, but he didn't even notice that he was making that sound. But he said when he was drawing, he actually is quite tensed up, even though the picture was pretty good, turned out to be pretty good.
Um, 所以我刚刚讲的这个例子哦，是在形容我们的心呢，常常它其实实际上在处在什么样的状态，其实我们的觉察是不够的。那么在一开始练习的时候呢，让我们先有技术的这样的方式来 follow 的时候，让我们散乱的心先能够比较专注跟沉淀下来。当你的身体更加放松了，心念更加清明的时候呢，你再回到不计数的状态，那你就会对于每一个现前当下的符号，你都会清清楚楚。
So just like the illustration I give people that give to you that as a beginner practitioner, our mind is not that clear in the beginning. So if you don't use counting to help you check if you're really mindful, then very likely you will get scattered mind, scattered thoughts without knowing. But when the whole body is more relaxed, when you practice more advanced, when your mind's more settled, and then you can recite Buddha's name without counting and still maintaining clear awareness on each recitation. So basically she said there gradually, it's different steps that you should take. At each stage, you use different nuances of the method. So in the beginning, use counting to make sure you do not do it mechanically. And then when the body and the mind is already calm, settled, and then you lose the count, but still you're able to count, you're still able to recite clearly without losing the quality of mindfulness.
让我再做一个反问啊，哈，就是说大家就是以你自己的状态来体验，在三句佛号当中你比较容易专注，还是十句的佛号你也能够专注？
So actually another way we can test and try out is that you can recite Buddha's name for 10 times and then recite Buddha's name for 3 times and compare, you know, two ways to recite Buddha's names, which way you feel like you're easier for you to get concentrated on, have the best quality of recitation. Is that the 3 times or 10 times?
通常我们就很容易感觉到其实三句 OK 没问题，我每次保持警觉，保持我的高度的 awareness 在三句佛号当中会非常的简单，可是叫我从第一句到第十句都清清楚楚明明白白，其实常常实际上遇上的状况是我们以为自己清楚，但实际上呢非常的妄念跟着佛号一起产生。
So for most people, it's very common that for 3 recitations of Buddha's names, you feel that you're pretty clear on the method. It's crystal clear. But for 10 times of recitation of Buddha's namesit's not as good or as the quality is not as good as the 3 recitations, or some people just don't know or don't aware that their quality actually is not good already.
所以哈，我想要再用昨天的Zentangle 的课程来做一个说明。那昨天教课的老师哦，他其实也很有经验， 他也带着各种不同 的年龄层的团体，好，那有青少年的团体，然后呢也有父母小孩的团体，那也有就是年轻人的工作坊这样啊。那其实这个老师昨天呢就分享到了哈，他其实在带这样的课程的时候，他意外的发现呢，就是当爸爸妈妈带着小孩一起来画的时候呢，通常这样做这个画作品的时候呢是怎样，我们一般以为是大人在教小孩，在辅导小孩进入状况嘛，但是呢当在做这个作品的时候，反而是小孩子在帮忙父母。为什么呢？其实他要求的就是很简单的哈，其实老师有给简单的画圈圈、画曲线、画直线条、画点，就这么四个元素在你的一张图卡上面。那小孩子通常就怎样，老师怎么说那小孩子就会照着做，他没有其他的哎呀我要那样做我不要那样做，所以呢小孩子只是听着老师很简单的教导，他直接做了，做了之后呢效果就出来了。但是大人呢是怎样，哎，老师给了简单的元素，可是呢常常心里面就是哎呀我想这样，哎呀我想那样可不可以呀、啊？啊，或者我还想这样好不好啊，然后结果呢就自己会被许许多多自己的想法给牵绊住了，而使得到底该怎么做其实目标就模糊了。
So again, I want to use yesterday's activity as example. The teacher who taught the group the drawing is pretty experienced. She led classes within different age groups, the youth group or parents children group and the young adult group. She shared something that's very interesting, that when parents and their children attend the class together, people usually think the parents are going to teach the child how to draw during this process. But interestingly, it's the opposite. It's actually the child teaches the parents how to draw, because when the teacher gives instructions, for example, just draw a circle here, just draw a straight line there, the children are able to apply the instructions directly and simply without adding their own opinions or thoughts. But parents usually are not able to do that. When they receive the instructions, they like to question or add something, their own opinions. So it turns out the product is not as ideal as the children.
好，那实际上呢我们其实非常多的方法哦，都是在帮助我们去做在任何不同的身心状态当中去做调和，没有说它一定得要怎么样，只是说当我们的身心是这种状态的时候，我那么可能调整一下方法来做辅助。
So the same goes to our practice. You know, the method is quite simple, but there's noor set way that we have to apply the method this way or that way. It is you understand the principle and be able to apply the method according to your current condition of body and mind.
所以我们其实在今天一开始的时候就有提到嘛，好，就是 beginner's mind. 随时随地就是用 beginner's mind 在每一个当下提起你的方法，那你自己的心去做练习了，你的身体，你的 awareness, 其实你的觉照觉察，其实就会让你自己很清楚知道这个方法对于你自己在调和你的身心当中起了多少的效用。
Just like we mentioned earlier in the talk that we should really apply the beginner's mind in our practice, that in a given moment, we pick up the method and apply and to address the current conditions of our body and mind and see how effective it is.
那我们在练习方法当中，好，还有一个句子可以跟大家分享的，简单的事情重复做，重复的事情快乐做，快乐的事情天天做。
So there's a poem that I like to share that the simple things, just do it repeatedly, and the do it repeatedly and become turns into a happy things. So happy things we do daily.
是啊，我们会发现常常是这样。简单的事情，当我们重复的时候，你会不会快乐？其实不会。我们的心其实是怎样，可能就会就是为什么会沦于机械化，就会机械化。你的心开始觉得，哎呀，这个太简单了，然后你的心就开始想着其他的事情了。这叫 multitasking, right? 就是我们会常常哈，同一个当下其实是会做很多的事情，然后你就觉得好像，哎，你的就是效能效率比较提高哦。那实际上呢，这又是另外一种的练习散乱心。所以我们在修这个五停心观哈，大家知道，其实它最主要帮助我们的心先修定。有一个方法让心能够定下来。
So one simple things, simple tasks we do repeatedly, for most people, they will start to get strained or scattered, and they start to do multitasking, because the mind is not used to repeat simple tasks again and again, but without losing concentration.
所以哈，就是。即使念佛其实是最方便最简单的法门哈，可是有没有人念到起烦恼？有的哈。
So recitation of Buddha's name is actually the simplest way to practice, but are there people there that they use this method to the point that they get annoyed? Yes.
那我们也常常像在台湾的时候哈，常常就会有听到，就是特别是老菩萨没有这个现象。手里拿着念珠，然后刚刚才在寺院里面参加念佛完了，结果呢回家去了。哎呀，一边自己又在念佛好，小孙子呢就在旁边叫着阿嬷阿嬷奶奶奶奶。结果呢这个阿嬷在念佛要专注嘛好，结果呢念着念着就告诉小孙子说，你不要吵，我在念佛好，这样。
So just like, for example, some practitioners, is chanting at home, then her grandchild approaches her and calling her, wants to play with her, and she would get annoyed and saying, go away, I'm chanting right now.
所以哈，大家知道我们真正念佛的心态，还有我们在每一个当下，如果你其实很清楚的在你的方法上的时候，其实哎，你在念佛哈，小孙子在叫你的时候呢，该现前当下。该要处理的时候呢，就应该要先去处理，而不是自己执着在每一念的符号上，而是你能够带着你念佛之后感受到的身心的放松、清明跟安定，回到处理你在生活当中应该要处理的事件。
Because if you really apply the method well, and then your body and mind should be relaxed and calm, and when you're interrupted by the grandchild,You should be able to live in the present moment and take care what you need to take care at that moment.
那举例说，也许你希望利用现前当下这个时间，好好的在念佛用功。可是呢，也就像这个奶奶一样，哈，小孙子来找了。那这个时候呢，好，不是转了头就去骂小孙子哈，而是其实还是可以先把手中的佛珠先放下来。那你心中的佛号可不可以持续念？哎，一样的可以持续着念，那越念你的身心越放松越祥和，哎，再慈祥的转向你的小孙子，哎呀小孙子呀，什么事情呀，哎，你就可以用一种很安定很平和的心情来跟小孙子互动。那其实呢，现前的阿弥陀佛在哪里呀？哎，就在小孙子嘛。
So if you're able to use the method well and have a relaxedUse a method to achieve the relaxed and the calm state of mind. And then when in the living present moment requires you to take care of that child or respond to his need, you will be able to temporarily put down the chanting beads and be able to respond to the child calmly and kindly and ask what is it or how can you help the child and withoutBut in the meanwhile, you still be able to recite Buddha's name silently in your heart. So in that moment, the method is on the child. Is you know the manifestation of the Amitabha Buddha is you know the child's needs at that moment.
所以其实呢，这样的处理的当下哈，这样子一种 awareness 警觉觉察的过程，其实就是在实践提升人的品质。 建设人间净土了。
So if you have that type of quality of awareness, then you are really practicing uplifting human characters on earth and building the pure land on earth.
所以就学习的观念跟方法哈，都不是学着记起来放在旁边哈，而是在每一个现前的当下，你就把你学到的观念用到的方法，你就在你现前当下随时安住你的心念，然后建设你现前当下的净土。
So again, the concepts and teachings we learn are not just concepts. We need to apply them to our body and the mind, the conditions of our body and the mind apply to our daily life. So it can be really, relate to your life.
那我们其实呢，在讲五庭心观里面，其实有五种的方法哈。其实你也不用五种都学，你只要能够一种，然后你自己知道了观念，你知道了方法怎么用。那在每一个现前当下每天的生活当中把它练到出神入化哈。我们其实在学 Chinese 功夫的时候呢叫有一个阶段哈，叫做知规矩熟规矩到化规矩。好，就是刚开始可能我们知道概念性的知道这五庭心观的方法，但是呢当我们练习着去做，你能够做到了，然后呢练习越久越久呢，你就变成是什么一种很自然的反应，你不用再透过刻意的注意的去做练习，而是你随时随地当下熟悉到就像呼吸不用告诉你自己你要呼吸一样，就是变得很自然而然的一种反应，那你随时随地就可以照顾好自己的身心。
So even though we say there are five methods for stilling the mind, you don't really need to learn all five methods or apply five methods really well. You only need to know one method or apply one method really, really well. Then you will be able to achieve the result. Because just like in Chinese Kung Fu, we often say, first you get to know or understand the rules.And then you practice, and you practice it so well to the point that it's no longer a contrived effort. It's almost like breathing that's so natural. It's a natural response of yourself. So you need to practice method to that point to get natural response to continue to carry on the method.
好，那我们今天呢就跟大家分享到这边。好，那希望下一次能够再有机会再为大家做后续的方法的介绍。
So that's it for today's talk, and hopefully we'll get another chance to continue to share the rest of methods with everyone.